Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Welcome back, Bald-Faced Truth. Judah Newby, Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano. We got the regional semifinals, a.k.a. the Sweet 16, Thursday and Friday, including action in the West region that Ryan Radke and P.J. Carlissimo will be on the call for Westwood One. And, of course, you can hear those games right here on your home of the madness from Westwood One, 750 The Game, streaming for free at 750thegame.com as well. He's a longtime coach in college hoops and the NBA, longtime broadcaster as well. One of my favorite people to talk to in general, but about basketball specifically. And spoke to P.J. Carlissimo earlier this afternoon and just asked how he was doing this time of year.
Great, Judah. On my way to San Francisco, actually, for the West region. And I thought the Ducks would be there. Dana Altman did his usual great job, and they played really well. It was just one of those games that you just felt was going to go to the last, and it was a tough one. I thought they played very well down the stretch, and it was a little bit like the old top Pac-12, some really good games over the years between Arizona and Oregon in March.
I'm one of those older souls, I guess, PJ. I'm 32, but I love listening to March Madness on the radio. And, of course, Westwood One has had it forever. I remember listening on my little portable Discman that had a radio feature, walking up and down the streets of my hometown and listening to all the play-by-play calls and a Brooke Lopez buzzer beater when he was at Stanford and all the big moments with the Ducks and obviously the Beavs in 2021. And when I hear your voice on a call, and this is not me like sucking up or anything, but it's just, it fits so perfectly. And you and Ryan Radke, your play-by-play partner, have such great chemistry and great rhythm. It's hard to call a game on the radio as an analyst, and you do it with ESPN radio as well with the NBA. But what's this time of year like for you? How exciting is it for you? And you're still going strong, and you've done this for a long time.
It's fantastic, Judy. It's my favorite time. It's one of the nicest things ESPN does for me, because most of the games I do, about 45 games, is with ESPN Radio with Mark Kestisher. And exactly what you talked about, when you work with Kesty and you work with Ryan Radke, it's pretty easy. I mean, they're both about as good as you can get. And the guy that broke me in for years with ESPN, and I even think we did some Westwood together, was Kevin Calabro. The voice of the Blazers now.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I've been lucky. I'm sitting next to guys that are just the best at what they do. You're right. Radio's more challenging. I love it. If I ever owned, and I certainly wouldn't, but if I owned a TV station, I'd make the TV analyst do radio, because it teaches you to be concise. You know, people on TV can see what's going on. You don't have to talk a lot. And radio, it's about the play-by-play guy. They got to give an awful lot of information really quickly, and then you just kind of dive in there and dive out, and it's great training to be a broadcaster, but I love it. ESPN lets me go for 3 weeks every year. It used to be Ryan and I would do the Pac-12. This year, obviously, we couldn't do that, so they sent me back to the Big East, so I was back at Madison Square Garden for 3 days. I actually thought both, and they both had a great chance, I thought we'd get either Connecticut, but you know, they couldn't get by Florida, or St. John's, they couldn't get by Arkansas. I thought we had a chance for one or two of those Big East teams to be with us in San Francisco. But these 3 weeks are just the best time of the year. There's nothing like the NCAA tournament. The one and done aspect, it's the one advantage that college has over the NCAA. I love the playoffs. You find out who the best team is when you play best out of seven. But the NCAA is amazing, and even this year with the power conferences just loaded up. I mean, we got seven SEC teams, four Big Ten, and four Big 12 with one lone ACC team. But that ACC team might end up winning the whole thing. So I'm looking forward to these next 2 weeks. First week is great. Like, Friday was torture doing four games. It's the hardest day of the year if you're a broadcaster, much more so for Ryan than for me. But, I mean, now when you get to the Sweet 16, if it's not a great game from this point on, it's an upset. So I'm really looking forward to these next 2 weeks and getting back to San Antonio the following week.
It's so fun. PJ Carlissimo joining us on the show. There's no one better to talk to about New York City basketball and West Coast basketball than yourself, given your backgrounds in both locations. I had a sister do some graduate work at Fordham, so I got to
my alma mater. Good for you.
And how I just love that campus and the location. Can you take me back there? What was it like to go to school and do basketball at Fordham?
Absolutely loved it. It was 4 great years, and I was lucky. I got to work as an assistant there for 4 more years when I finished. So I spent 8 years in the Bronx. And people that don't know it, if you fly into LaGuardia, you see it, kind of that speck of green in the middle of the entire Bronx. And you got the campus, the Rose Hill campus, and the Bronx Zoo and the Botanical Gardens, and you're surrounded by concrete other than that. But it was a great place to go. It's a great school. And now the downtown campus at Lincoln Center is almost as big now. It just keeps expanding. So it's a great place. I loved my time there. That job, I think, is open. I don't know whether they've filled it yet. They made a change. Keith Ergo had done a really good job a couple of years ago. They had a fantastic year. We were back when they retired Charlie Elverton's jersey. Charlie actually spent a year with the Blazers back in 71-72. So I was back on campus and enjoyed it. And being back in the Garden for the Big East tournament this year brought back some great memories. It was a lot of fun. And St. John's owned the city. I really thought they were going to make a deep run in the tournament, but credit to Arkansas and John Calipari.
I was right there with you, yeah. And I remember visiting the Vince Lombardi little statue there and seeing his ties at Fordham were so cool. It's just such a neat thing. Basketball in New York City is its own culture, its own element. To see Rick and what he did there with St. John's and revive college hoops in the Garden, that's so special. So you were calling games out in Seattle in the first and second rounds. And you've got, you spent a lot of time in Seattle. You've spent a lot of time here in Portland with your NBA coaching career. Is there something special about coming back to the Pacific Northwest to call games?
Absolutely. I actually still live here. I love Seattle, and they did such a great job with the, I don't want to say renovation. It's really a new building other than the roof. Now it's called Climate Pledge. For years, of course, it was Key. And I even spent one of the years I was in Portland, we were playing in the Tacoma Dome when they were fixing up Key a little bit, but they didn't fix it up like it's fixed up now. It's beautiful. I miss my, I still call it the Rose Garden or Motor Center. I'll learn the names at some point. Chauncey's doing such a good job with the Blazers, but I don't get as many trips to Portland as I would like to. I still sneak down there a couple times in the summer, but I wish I would get down for a couple more games in the regular season.
I briefly met you during the 2019 Western Conference Finals. The Warriors and Blazers were playing when the Blazers made one of their very rare deeper playoff runs. And I got to meet you at Moda Center very, very briefly. And then it wasn't until later that it struck me, you were the coach when that building opened back in 95.
Exactly. We coached the first year. We called it the Glass House. Where's the first year? I guess is the proper name, the Coliseum?
The Coliseum.
I remember,
yeah.
But my first year in Portland, we played in the Coliseum, and then we opened the Rose Garden the next year. We opened it with a loss of all things. We were still screwing in the bolts and stuff to get the seats ready for the opening night. We lost to Vancouver. My good buddy Brian Hill was the Vancouver coach. I'm pretty sure we lost the opening night game. Not a good way to start, but it turned out to be a great home. It still is a great building and a great home court for the Blazers.
You know, let me ask you, here in Portland, we're kind of excited about the young players that are on this Blazers roster, but also a little confused that they're as feisty and winning as many games as they are because everybody's so accustomed to trying to tank for a better draft position. I'm curious, PJ, from your time here and just your pulse on the league in general, what's your kind of broad perspective on the state of the Trailblazers right now?
I like where they're at, and I think the fact that they're winning is going to be important for the young guys going forward. The league tries to set it up as best they can to make it like where there's no guarantee. You still got to sit there and kind of anguish when they're pulling the the ping pong balls out. We don't see that. But like when they, you know, make the announcement, you already know, the people that are in the inside room already know what's happening. So you can't control it as much as you used to. I think it's a bad message when teams just flat out stop trying to win, particularly with young teams. I mean, it's hard enough in this league. So I like, you know, Adam, when he put the play in, Adam Silver, the commissioner, when he put the play in, I didn't think it was going to be as successful. You know, I said to him, I don't know if it's going to catch on. It's caught on great. It's made the games in March and April more meaningful, and I like that more, you know. So I'd rather broadcast games that mean something, and you got both teams going full out trying to win. That's the way it should be, because these games are so important at the end of the year. You hate to see if it looks like a team is not really putting forth an effort and the other team gets a win. This time of the year, wins are really critical for a lot of teams, and even more so with the play-in.
BJ Carlesimo joining us. He's going to be on the call of the games in San Francisco in the West Regional Sweet 16 action here on 750. The game from Westwood One Thursday through Sunday, and the San Francisco games Thursday and Saturday this week. A thought on the Ducks, and you did hit on it, but what did you see from Dana Altman's group on the 2 days? It was interesting to see that both Oregon and Arizona it seemed to me that they were sending messages to each other with their blowout wins in the first round, saying, hey, we want to see you and you want to see us in the second round. There was a lot of intrigue.
No, there's no question. The two teams, a lot of respect, sure, but they certainly don't love each other. Jackson Shellstead is playing so well. I'm so glad to see Nate Biddle finally get through a year healthy and has had an excellent year for the Ducks. I like Dana Altman's not a good coach. He's an exceptional coach. The only problem is he makes it look too easy, just, you know, knocking out 20 wins, going to the NCAA, and the job he's done, not just at Oregon, but at Creighton, K-State, everywhere he's been, Marshall. I mean, he's been fantastic. So I love to watch Dana's teams play. I still enjoy going to his practices. He's kind enough to let me go to the practice and to shoot around, and I love just watching him work. And I like it. They've got. I still think they're in good shape going forward. I thought for the first year in the Big Ten, they did a really good job. It's such a tough adjustment to go into a league where you don't know the other coaches, the other players. I mean, not saying it's impossible, but, you know, like when you're in a league, you know the coaches, you know the other players, your players do too, even with all the transferring that's going on nowadays. When you all of a sudden jump to a league with 18 teams, you don't even play them all twice, with ridiculous travel that Oregon and Washington and UCLA and USC have to deal with, it makes it so much tougher. So for Oregon to do as well as they did their first year in the Big Ten, I think that, you know, harkens really well for the future for the Ducks. But it is not easy, and it's not going to be easy in that league. I mean, it's two leagues. It's not one. I mean, they got 18 teams. It's incredible. So to survive there with the travel that unfortunately they're going to be facing is really going to be a challenge continue to be a challenge going forward.
Transfer portal, NIL, all this stuff, player entitlement, you could say, is rampant. It's a different sport now, college basketball, than it's been in years past. PJ, I'm sure there's a level of evolution the sport naturally goes through era by era, but what do you make of the game today? And when you're calling games courtside in the NCAA tournament, do you notice any difference?
Yeah,
or is it
for sure? Okay. You don't have the continuity. You don't have the teams that have been together for 3 or 4 years. So there's no question that the teams from, you know, I'm a curmudgeon, but from the older era, were a lot better. When you have teams that were together for 3 or 4 years, when you had juniors or seniors, you had guys 22, 23, 24 years old, much better teams. They had more continuity. Coaches had more control over what was going on the floor. But, I mean, it's a great product. There's still great talent. I just don't – I hate the fact that you can transfer and play right away. I don't mind the players getting their money. That's great. But it's just absurd, players jumping from school to school. And, you know, like if you're in a mid-major or a low major, the worst thing that happens is you have a good player. Got even the lower teams in the power leagues, if somebody plays really well for them, the guy wants to go somewhere else and make more money. So I hate what it's done to football and basketball. But unfortunately, it was something they just jumped into too quickly without any foresight, without any thought. to what regulations they needed to have in place, and now it's the Wild West now in football and basketball.
So your West regional games here, Maryland and Florida, Thursday in San Francisco, a 4:39 West Coast tip right here on 750 The Game, and it's followed by Coach Cal in Arkansas taking on Texas Tech. What do you make of the two games that you'll be on the call for on Thursday in San Francisco?
I think Maryland's playing really well. Florida has been one of the hottest teams in the country. I think Maryland's going to give them all they ask for. Texas Tech should be the favorite against Arkansas, but I mean, when you're on a run where you beat Kansas and St. John's, a couple of Hall of Fame national championship coaches like John Calipari, who's won himself, has done. I'm hoping they can also make it another good game for us. So I'm looking forward to it, and about to jump on a plane here in Seattle for San Francisco. So I hope people do get a chance to listen to us on Westwood this weekend.
You're the best, Coach. Thanks so much for the time and safe travels.
All right, Judah. Good being with you.
I love that, Coach. PJ Carlesimo. Coming through right before jumping on a plane to go down to San Francisco this afternoon, Stephen. Good stuff. I mean, just love his voice. Love his ethos, everything, his experience, what he brings to the game. And then you get to tune in to us on 750 or wherever you get Westwood One. You'll get some good PJ Carlesimo action coming up on Thursday. And there's some good games on Thursday.
Oh, Thursday, I think, is the banger of a day. And, yeah, the raspy voice of PJ, just love it, man. I could listen to him talk all day, tell stories. He's been around it all. Like, that's the thing is he's an expert on the college game, and then he's an expert on the NBA game as well. So love to hear PJ talk about basketball. I could do it all day.
And getting some texts as well. I know PJ's dad, a legend in the game in his own right. So PJ kind of born into it as well, and he's forged his own legacy of sorts. So he'll be calling games with Ryan Radke, Maryland, Florida, and Arkansas, Texas Tech Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks to the folks at Westwood One helping us arrange that with PJ Carlesimo. All right, when we come back, we'll go through the world of sports once again. Some breaking news that we need to continue to react to, including two more departures for Oregon State men's basketball. We also got Punch It Audio and the 5 at 5 to get to as well. Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn here in for John Canzano on the Bald Faced Truth.